January 22nd meeting of the Oceano Community Services District to order. Will we have a roll call, please?
Director Gibson?
Here.
Director Villa?
Here.
Director Repold?
Here.
Vice President White?
Here.
President Austin?
Okay, will you all please join me in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. That brings us to agenda review. Is there anything on the agenda?
I would like to ask that we be respectful of the time of all the members of the public who want to give general public comment and move closed session to the end.
Okay. Is there any other comment on that?
No.
Can I comment on it? It's on your agenda.
Go ahead.
My name is Julie Tacker, and I would also ask that you move the closed session from the beginning of the meeting to the end where it was 2 weeks ago. In the order that that agenda was printed, it was at the end of that meeting. At the very least, if you're not willing to do that, I would ask that you move general public comment up so that people who have come to speak to you tonight can do that and go home. If they're willing to stay through your closed session, that's fine, but then you'll get to your regular business. But I really believe that general public comment should come before you're going to closed session.
Okay, thank you. I think what I've discussed this with Will today.
Well, President Austin, so that was my decision. I didn't like where I put it on the earlier agenda. Certainly, it's up to your board. I have no problem if you take public comment before closed session. That would work just as well. So that way, people can go home if that's the only thing they want to be here for.
Okay, but this closed session, I think, I don't know.
The reason I moved it to the beginning was because, you know, we were informed that some of the public comment might be a subject of one of the cases that we're going to discuss in closed session. So I wanted the board to have that clearly in mind as they listen to public comment.
Correct.
So that's why I place it on the agenda where I did.
So how long do you think we'll be in closed session?
About 20 minutes.
20 minutes. So I don't think if anyone would mind, we could do the closed session.
I think it's important to hear the public's comments before we go into closed session and discuss an item that many of them are here to talk about.
Let me finish completing my sentence. I think due to the nature of what Mr. Clemens said, that we should go ahead and go into the closed session. However, I will listen to the public. So if anyone else has public comment on this, please come forward. You've already commented, Ms. Tacker.
I've commented on the agenda review.
Yes.
I'm ready to comment on public comment for items not on the agenda or the closed session, whichever you're going to hear first.
Go ahead.
So I need to know what you're going to hear first.
Closed session, I think.
Closed session.
So that's what you've decided. Closed session is coming
first. Well, the board makes a decision on that?
The decision on the agenda is up to the presiding officer, which is you, President Austin.
Then due to the nature of things, I want to do the closed session at the beginning. It won't be long, and we'll be right back out.
So can someone explain what the comment was earlier from Mr. Clemens, or Mr. Clemens, if you don't mind, explain that the public that might be here to speak to closed session... How did you get that? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and speak to closed session, and the people in the room should listen because one of the items I do know relates to a cure and correct letter, that is the threat of litigation, due to the fact that there was no agenda item banning a board member. The agenda was to set committee assignments only. Your board decided to take that opportunity to make a motion, a second, and a vote, 3-2 vote, to ban Ms. Replogle from any committee, for the next year. At the same time, they defamed her and took away her freedom of speech, her right to free speech, and the comment, the quote that was made was that you should remain mute. No one in this country should remain mute. Now, in my Cure and Correct letter, I ask that you properly agendize whether or not to ban someone from the committees. And that's merely what I've asked you to do, and that will cure the situation. That will cure the action that you took. If you re-agendize a separate agenda, banning a board member, banning Ms. Replogle from serving on a committee representing this community.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on closed session?
Before that, I got a kind of a point of order. We have not gotten off of the agenda review. I don't believe we've reviewed the agenda. So, I mean,
we're proceeding
on to all of this other stuff without reviewing the agenda first. I'm just
asking
about it.
Is there anyone else has anything else on the agenda to review? The agenda review was the closed session item, so I guess that's why we moved on to that. So we'll go ahead and do public.
Are we going to amend the agenda? If we're going to listen to public's comment first, we have to amend the agenda to move the closed session, I believe.
I believe the decision was to leave the agenda as is and
leave the agenda as is and take public comment on the
closed session.
Okay, I move we approve the agenda, however it happens.
Okay, you want to approve the agenda, and then we'll take public comment on the
closed agenda. Session, but do you want to read that out, Jeff, before you proceed?
I'd like to have a vote on the agenda review.
Do we get public comment on that?
We were giving public comment. Do we vote on reviewing the agenda? I thought he said that the presiding officer made that decision, so there is no vote on the agenda review, right? We've already reviewed it. We've already.
Your board has had a practice of approving the agenda. And
right.
The motion
vote, so okay, then you want to make a motion?
I make a motion we approve the agenda.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, is a motion and a second. Do we have a roll call, please?
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Please
Director
be quiet.
No.
Yes.
Director Replogle?
No.
Yes.
President Austin?
Yes. Okay, so now I will open to public comment on closed session, please. Would you announce closed session first?
Following public comment, the board will adjourn to closed session pursuant to Government Code 54956.92, conference legal counsel regarding anticipated litigation. There are two matters to be discussed. And then public comment.
Public comment, please.
Good evening. My name is April. I'm a Five Cities resident. If you had taken my public comment for items not on the agenda or the agenda change or whatever, I would have asked that you change that to towards the back so that these kind people who showed up to give you their opinion, the people that you should be representing, could have the opportunity to do that before 9 o'clock tonight. But with that in mind, if we're talking about closed session now, I would like to express my also dissatisfaction what you've chosen to do. And if you have received a cure and correct, if, in fact, Julie Tacker is speaking to what you will be looking at soon, I would hope that you would adhere to it and acknowledge that you did make a decision that was not on the agenda, so the public could not have known to come to speak to it. I hope that that matters to you, because you're here to represent all of us, not just the three majority people and your personal opinions, just as Ms. Replogle, however you pronounce it, I'm sorry, Cynthia, is here to represent the OCSD. So if you're going to hold her accountable, I request that you hold yourselves to that same accountability and represent all of us and not just your own interests. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
Hello. I'm not quite sure what is going on with all the format and procedure here. I have to admit I am new to coming to Oceano Community Service District meetings. I'm a homeowner here, a resident, a voter, a U.S. citizen by choice. I point that out because when I became a U.S. citizen, I took an oath to honor and uphold the Constitution. When I became a lawyer here in the state of California, I took the same oath, honor and uphold the U.S. Constitution. The First Amendment to the Constitution in the Bill of Rights, which should be extremely important to all of us, is freedom of speech. The United States of America has a strong tradition of the free marketplace of ideas. I think that's a really important phrase. The free marketplace of ideas means that when we disagree, we listen. Maybe we listen and we learn and we share. And through that exchange of ideas is how we learn and grow and we make progress as a society. We are not a dictatorship or a totalitarian society where we just shut down all opposition. And when I've been reading and learning about what happened to Director Cynthia Ruplugel's committee assignments and the comments that were made without it even being on an agenda, I have to admit I'm outraged. It moved me to give up an evening with my family and my other concerns and come here and share my concerns with you. I hope you will all take this seriously. I hope you will take it as an opportunity to correct the actions, to learn from what you've done in the past. Based on what I've been reading, although I am a lawyer, I'm not that type of lawyer who sues people. But you should take it seriously because I'm sure that there are lawyers who would sue over something like what has been done. And thank you all for your service. I hope that we can proceed and continue to hear from voices who may not always be in the majority. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Catherine, K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E, Schwinghammer, S-C-H-W-I-N-G-H-A-M-M-E-R.
Good evening. My name is Amanda Sherlock. I am a resident here since 2013. I've been a homeowner here since 2003. I too am a citizen by choice. When I became naturalized, I took my oath very seriously, and I take voting very seriously. And other than being a lawyer, I echo exactly what the previous speaker said.
Thank you. Is there any other public
comment? Should I say, other than not being a lawyer?
Thank you. Okay, is there any other comment? This is on the closed session.
Yeah, well, since you're talking about presumably Cynthia in closed session or your actions, then I'm going to comment on it, and I think everybody should comment now on it. Don't keep your powder dry. Just seize the opportunity. So I was very distressed when I found out about what happened at the meeting 2 months ago. I thought it was extremely inappropriate. When I watched the video myself, seeing directors say that Cynthia has a conflict of interest to be a director and an advocate for environmental issues, and she can't have it both ways, that her behavior is undermining the community, it's destructive, and that if she doesn't agree, she needs to be mute. That just flies in the face of what people have eloquently spoken to and what our country and our Constitution is about. I have been in many meetings with Cynthia across the county, and I have seen her, if it was relevant for her to identify herself as an OCSD person, director, she was very clear to make the distinction between speaking as a citizen or speaking as a director. She knows the difference. I was at a Coastal Commission meeting when President Austin, where hundreds of people wanted to speak, and President Austin invoked her elected official status as OCSD president to go to the front of the line and stand in front of the Coastal Commission and say, and declared that she was speaking as a private citizen, just as Cynthia does. But I haven't heard about President Austin having her committee assignments taken away for that. I'm concerned that, Mr. Minery, I think you missed an opportunity to advise the board 2 months ago when they were starting to go down this line of taking away committee assignments from a director who does a heck of a good job for the reasons that they gave. I think as legal counsel, they should have been advised that the course they were taking was a dangerous one and was making them vulnerable to legal action, because it has no basis in any sort of reality. I would like to see you reset this whole issue, restore Director Raplogel to her committee assignments. Thank you.
Any other comments?
My name is Robin Harris, and I am a resident and voting member of the Oceano community. I voted for Cynthia Raplogel to be my representative on this board and have felt she's been doing an excellent job representing me, so your action at the last meeting effectively barred my voice when it comes to making decisions for the city in which I live. I hope that each of you have your own thoughts and opinions on the things that you consider while serving on this board, and I think they should all be heard. And after a decision is made, I don't think it is right for this board to decide that you should no longer share these thoughts and opinions because you still have them. And as a constituent, I want to know what you think about an issue that you have discussed. It informs me whether you are representing me as I expected and helps me know how I want to vote the next time. Please reconsider barring Cynthia Raplogel from serving on any voting or non-voting committee and reinstate her to a fully participating member. Also, I ask that you please revisit the distribution of committee assignments, allowing each board member equal participation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment?
My name's Rebecca Venturini. I second everything that everybody said so far. I think Cynthia is such a strong member because she just does so much homework. She researches everything so thoroughly. She doesn't vote on things until she's really gotten down into the paperwork and looked at it all thoroughly and asked all the hard questions. And I think that, frankly, we need more people like that on this board. Not that I'm accusing anybody of not doing their homework. I just think that she truly, truly has the best interest of Oceano residents in mind. And these last actions really made it seem like the board members that voted her out had their own agendas in mind. At least that's how it appears to the public. The other thing I'd like to address is Aline Villa not getting any paid voting positions. I can't remember what exactly it's called, but Aline and her family are a super underrepresented demographic in our community, and I think that her input is extremely valuable. It needs to be spread across as many boards as possible, and I just think that what Charles said about redistributing the members of the boards is in order. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else have public comment?
My name's Carl Kempton, Carl with a K. I've been a resident since 83. I haven't been this concerned since I got involved with the Wallace Group mess that this institution created. I voted for Cynthia because of who she is. and I'm really concerned. The way the body language of this group was as you guys were opening up, obviously you've tied yourself in a knot. I hope in your silence or in your session that you untie your knot and go back to where things were, reconsider, get back to being understanding with each other, and distribute the appointments the way they should be. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment?
I'm Jim Caldwell, a resident of Oceano. Now, I don't know. I am not a parliamentarian. But it seems to me that if the agenda included committee assignments, whether a person is appointed or not appointed would be addressed by the committee assignments being on the agenda. A couple of quick points, specifically for Robin and Carl. You did not vote for Cynthia to be on this board. She is not an elected member of the board. Cynthia knows that she was appointed. She was not elected at all. So it cannot affect who you voted for. I've observed Ms. Rapogo on a number of occasions. She is very strong in her opinions. And as far as I can see, she has never been muted about expressing those opinions. And frankly, I think many of your statements have been errant and arrogant.
And please address the entire board and not a specific director.
To the president, please.
To the entire board. I see Director Rapogo's comments often being arrogant and offensive. And I think the board has the absolute right and the responsibility to appoint the best people to represent Oceano on the various committees throughout the county.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment?
Hi. My name is John Allen Connerly. I'm new to Oceano. I'm not new to the area. I'm not new to government. I have been urged to come here today, and I wanted to come here today because I did take the time to watch the video of the meeting that we're talking about, and I was struck by a couple of, I think, mistakes that were made, and they've already been elucidated here, so I don't have to go into it. I will say one thing. I'm accustomed to discipline about keeping one's opinion to themselves. I was a Foreign Service officer with the U.S. Department of State for almost 30 years, and behind closed doors, a Foreign Service officer is urged to speak his or her mind. And then, when the door is closed, and when you go public, you support the policy of the United States as explained by the president at that time. But that was made clear when I became a Foreign Service officer. I signed a contract that said I would obey that discipline as a Foreign Service officer. This board is not that. This is not an collective executive board. It's a legislative body, and there should be many voices, and I think there are many voices. And as a number of the other speakers have said, I think there's time for us to embrace a couple of American virtues. Many mistakes are often made. We also have, I think we put a lot of value on forgiveness. So I think now's the time for it. But first, people have to admit that an error was made. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Anyone else?
I'm Cheryl Storton. I don't live in Oceano, but I have been in the area since 1975. My husband and all his kids lived in Oceano for years and still are connected to the area. And I haven't known Cynthia long, but in the short time I have known her, I realize how smart she is and how many things she has to offer. And I think it would be a real shame if you didn't allow her to help out with Oceano and its issues and give a rise to a new voice and new opinions and maybe a new way forward. I really think it would be good for the board. It would be good for Oceano. It would be good for the United States. It would be good for free speech. And I really think you're missing out by curtailing her activities. I mean, she's really, and she's young, and that's what we need. We need, I'm old, I'm on my way out, but we need young people with new ideas who are smarter than me and to move us forward, because we really need to protect Oceano and this area and our environment. So I would beg you, please let her be and help out with everything that needs to be helped out with. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other public comment? Okay. Seeing none, then we're going to adjourn to come on, Mr.
You're not allowed to antagonize speakers. Do not say that.
I'm sorry, you're antagonizing what?
I heard you call him crazy, so please be quiet and let this gentleman speak.
This is what we're talking about here. I came here because of this toxic environment that Cynthia Pogli has created in our community. Let me explain to you what she did. She failed to make a critical vote on this study, which was $150,000, which not only would create jobs, would maintain water security not only for Oceano, but the rest of the sister cities, because they needed to develop. She voted no. In between that vote, she took to the internet and assassinated the character of board members and private businesses with videos and her little Oceano Community Beach Association, whatever they're called. They're just toxic. They go around selecting which businesses should be here, ATV businesses should be gone. This is not the character of a board member attacking ratepayers and landowners in this community, online, in public. So I recommend that we have some sort of standard, like Pismo Beach, as to what board members are expected to do, a code of conduct with social media and between each other. We don't have that here, okay? And this is the problem. People like this go around to all these newspapers claiming one thing, attacking other members directly, and wondering why they're getting shouldered out, because she cannot be trusted is why. She cannot be trusted. Let me say that again. You cannot be trusted.
Direct it to your president here.
I'm done here.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. DeSouza. Is there any other public comment? Excuse me. Can we please have order in the back of the room? Is there any other public comment on this item? Seeing none, we are going to adjourn to close session.
Excuse me, I'd like to just clear up one point. I was appointed to this board in August of 2018, but I stood for election in November of 2018 and ran unopposed.
Thank you.
The only current appointee is Director Gibson.
Thank you. All right, let's adjourn to close session.
Thank you.
We'll be back in 20 minutes if anyone would like to... Okay, welcome back to the meeting of Wednesday, January 22nd, Oceano Community Services District. We are back in session from closed session. Do we have a report out of closed session, Mr. Minery?
Yes, we do. In closed session, the board considered a cure and correct demand by a member of the public, and the board considered it and considered prior actions and made a vote of how to handle it. The vote was unanimous, and the vote was to reject the cure and correct, and in the first meeting in February to review the district bylaws regarding district compensation and other issues related to directors. And third, the board voted to, in the second meeting in February, approve the revised bylaws and reconsider all committee assignments.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Minery. Way of order. I'll now open the floor to public comment for matters that are not on the agenda.
Excuse me, I'd like to say something first. I want to thank all of you for coming out and giving your comments tonight. I do believe that there was a Brown Act violation, as alleged by Ms. Tucker. Nevertheless, the board has agreed to revisit the committee assignments. So that's the desired outcome, and I'm glad that we were able to agree on that. I would like to ask you all to mark your calendars for the second meeting in February, which is on the 26th. Please come and be here and make sure that this time around the committee assignments are assigned equitably. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there any? Now I will open it up for public comment for items that are not on the agenda. Public comment period provides an opportunity for members of the, for members of the public to address the board on matters of interest within the jurisdiction of the district that are not listed on the agenda. If a member of the public wishes to speak at this time, public comment is limited to 3 minutes, and I will ask for everyone to show respect to everyone in the room and on this board. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is April. I'm a Five Cities resident. I just wanted to thank you all for the decision that you made. I look forward to the next meeting, which that meeting isn't on this agenda, so I'm speaking to it. I hope at the next meeting that you really consider what the public said this evening and take that into consideration. There obviously is very much an interest in all voices being heard by all the residents of Oceano and Halcyon. So I appreciate that you guys revisited this issue this evening. Thank you.
Any other public comment?
Another follow-up public comment. Again, I'm Catherine Schwinghammer, Oceano homeowner and resident, and I want to thank the board for what I understand, putting the committee assignments back on agenda, and that we will have an opportunity to speak to committee assignments on February 26th. As I am so new to this participating in civic government, I don't know if it's possible to get clarification that I've understood that correctly. Okay. I do feel it's very important to have representation. Ms. Villa, I'd like to see her have a full and complete role in the committee assignments that I've come to learn that she hadn't, and I hope that can be corrected in the future. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I believe this not to be on the agenda, but it is on the subject of Ms. Replogle's representation for your district and how it relates to some of the comments that were made at your December meeting where you banned her from committee assignments. Some of the statements that were made about her were simply not true. The things that were said about her not supporting the fire tax or not supporting Central Coast Blue, as I understood her comments and her actions, she didn't support the formula for the fire tax. Not the fire tax, not supporting the fire tax. It was the equity in how the fire tax would be applied. And that's why she voted no. And that's why she went to the Oceano Advisory Council and explained her position on the fire tax. With regard to Central Coast Blue, she has always stated as a member of the public that she was opposed to locating that project at the sanitation district site for the many reasons that we know it shouldn't be there. So I'm grateful that you will hear the committee assignments again, but I also hope you open your ears and actually listen to what she's saying. She's not opposed to you or necessarily what you're voting for. She's supporting Oceano in a thoughtful way. She's educated, she's bright, and she's coming at the same solutions from a different angle. And that's merely all that I see her doing. And I think this community is very fortunate to have her on this board.
Thank you.
Any other public comment?
I'm Mary Lucy Oceano, resident, 17 years, homeowner. First of all, I think you're all brilliant and bright and smart and well-educated and all those great things. But what I would like you to do is as you go through all good governments, go back and review their bylaws and modify and tighten them up as the years go on. And I'm glad to see that you're considering doing something like that. But I'd also like you to do a little bit more training on the ADA, the Americans with Disability Act, because when I see somebody being abused at the podium who falls under the Americans with Disability Act, who is a person with disabilities, that is a violation. That is a violation of that person's constitutional rights. And so to call them slanderous names is not okay. And so I look to you as legal counsel, as general manager, and as the board to stop that when that occurs. And so the only way you can do that is a little bit more training from everybody. Thank you.
Any other public comment?
I'll just make a quick comment. Thank you so much for listening to us and revisiting this issue. I think that's great. I think we all will benefit from this, and especially Oceano. So I look forward to seeing you in February.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. I will close public comment. And we will start on special presentations and reports. So we'll start with our staff report. Utility Systems Manager Tony Maricino.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino. Give you an update on Lopez. Lopez is currently at 51.8% full, which is 25,599 acre feet. We had zero sewer system overflows for the month of December. Yeah, it is. State water year-to-date, as it ended in December, we only took 11 acre feet. We've taken all 303 acre feet from Lopez. We're currently taking carryover water, which we're at 168 acre feet. And through the month of December, we pumped 147 acre feet.
Sorry, Tony, what was the Lopez number again?
So Lopez, we took our entire entitlement, which is 303 acre feet. So we're currently taking the carryover water that is allocated to us that we requested. It's called carryover, and that's at 168 acre feet. All right, so we've had our daily rounds, our samples. We had 18 work orders, 15 USAs, 13 customer service calls, 5 after-hour call-outs. 2 of them were for turn-ons after hours. One of them was a shut-off for a line break on the customer side. Another one of the call-outs was well 8, had an alarm. We also had a line break in the alleyway that we had to repair. We also had a leak on North Swing that we had to repair. We had to replace a water line due to a break on Warner. All right, as for the emergency generator, it is up and running. If we do have a power outage, it will supply power to this building at 100%, including the sleep quarters, and it will supply power to the sheriff's station. So that's the vice president was waiting on that one since I've worked here. So it's a good thing. All right. Yeah, we had a power outage at the lift station. Everything went well with the emergency generator. It was out for a few hours due to a bird hitting a power line. We had a hazardous material inspection done by the County of San Luis Obispo. Everything went really well. The only thing that was noticed, and it wasn't even part of the hazardous material inspection, our eyewash station, the little plastic lids kind of broke off due to the sun. It's plastic. They get brittle. We'll get those replaced. We had to relocate a water line on Paso for the drainage project because it was in the way of the infiltrator on Paso. So that's been completed. As for the drainage project, we have a little bit more work to do as the field staff. But everything else is going really well. We had door hangers, lock-offs, meter reads, re-reads, leak notifications on high consumptions. Still continuing to replace meters. Any questions? All right.
I don't have any.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Lieberman isn't here. Mr. Clemens, do you have your general manager's report?
Yes. So a lot has happened since our last meeting in December. I completed the transition from the former general manager prior to his retirement. For the most part, over the last month and a half, I've had many meetings with various stakeholders and partners with the district. Attended a meeting with special districts managers group, which discuss items of common interest among special districts. Met with the sanitation district general manager to discuss items of mutual interest. With the sanitation district, had a meeting with county public works staff on the status of our grants, Prop 84 and Prop 1 grants, and I can report that today we submitted our final reimbursement request for the Prop 84 grant, which is our Water Resource Reliability Program grant. So that maxed out our grant award of $201,475. So that's the good news. The bad news is we were notified that our CDBG grant application for our water tank rehabilitation project was not recommended for funding. The county indicated that they received $3.9 million in applications, and they only had $472,000 to allocate. So our project didn't make the list. We went live with our Facebook page, and our first post was December 17th, 2019. And we've also started to post agendas on the Nextdoor site. So we're finally online. As far as social media goes, we've always had our website. Met with our district engineer to discuss how we're going to continue to work together moving forward with his firm. I had a meeting with the county administrator, Wade Horton, to discuss fire service issues, and particularly should Measure A20 be unsuccessful. And I'm going to share that information from the county at our special meeting, which is this Saturday, 3 p.m., January 25th, an informational meeting for Measure 820 right here in this chamber, so encourage the public to attend if they want to have questions answered about Measure 820. I was invited by the EVC, Economic Vitality Corporation, to discuss water infrastructure to their Building Design Cluster monthly meeting. I presented information on Measure 820 to the South County Chamber of Commerce, and in particular their Governmental Affairs Committee. And as I informed your board last week, and we posted on our Facebook page, the Air Pollution Control District had placed monitors on our property here, so this was before my time, but you had allowed the APCD to place monitors here on our property, and they were here from April through October of 2019. And just today at the Air Pollution Control District, they had a report on the results of that monitoring. So you can access that report on their website, and we also have a link on our Facebook page to that agenda item. And basically, the results indicated that the air quality on our property is less influenced by wind-blown dust from the ODSVRA and more influenced by the traffic on Highway 1. The air quality on our property is much better in Oceano than the results from the Nampoma Mesa, other than the Oso Flaco monitoring station. So some interesting, I encourage the public to read that report on their website. And I'm happy to reinforce that our emergency generator project was successfully tested. So the good news is we have emergency power to both this building, the fire station, including the living quarters and the exhaust system in the fire bays, as well as the sheriff's substation. But as is going to be on the consent agenda, there was a change order number 2, which was necessary to get the living quarters and the exhaust system connected to emergency power. And as a preview, we know that there's a change order 3 coming. The sheriff's substation has 3 electrical panels. One of them is on emergency power. The other 2 operate some non-essential areas of the sheriff's substation, like the gym, etc. But there is some section of the sheriff's substation that is not being powered that needs to be in an emergency. So we have to re-engineer those control panels and equalize the electrical loads in those panels. I have the cost for the design engineer to work on it. It's $3,200. We just don't know what the contractor will charge for the actual work. And once we know that, we'll come back for another budget adjustment for the emergency generator project. And I think that's the extent of my report. If you have any questions.
Is the finish money for the generator coming out of facilities, basically out of our facilities fund?
So it's split between our public facilities fund and the general fund. So I think it's 75%. What was the percentage?
70.5%. Yeah.
Okay.
Facilities.
Yeah. Coming out of facilities.
Coming out of public facilities,
yeah.
And then the rest coming out of public facilities, or not public. Excuse me, facilities fund contingencies.
Tom okay, Twister. Thank you.
I had a couple questions. I noticed that the letter that was printed out here that was sent in, as well as the ones that were in the packet, in the future, could we redact some of the personal information in here to keep people's private information private, their addresses and email addresses and such.
Sure.
Thank you. And I was wondering, what's the status of reviewing the garbage rate structure? I think you were looking into that, Carrie.
It's agenda item 9C for tonight.
No, no, I don't mean the facility fees. I mean the structure, whether it's pay as you throw or our current collection cost
model. Oh, the rate manual.
Yes, that.
Sorry. So I talked to Bill Statler, and he was going to reach out to the other agencies that we all do the rate study with, and he said he would do that by the end of either this month. I've reached out to him before December, and he said he would wait for the holidays. So he would be reaching out to all the people in South County, so it was Pismo, AG, Grover, and I believe Napomo. So he was going to coordinate that, but yeah.
Okay. And how about the status of e-billing? I don't know which one.
I've received two quotes so far, and I'm waiting on two others. Some of them have the e-billing. Others are just the credit card payments. So there'll be multiple options, but right now I'm waiting on two more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other comments for Mr. Clemens' report? Commander Manuelli was here but left, so we didn't get him up. Okay, to our Board of Directors and outside committees, Director Villa.
Yeah.
Director Gibson.
Yes. I attended the Sanitation District meeting on June 15th. Our only action item was approving a contract for the redundancy project in the amount of $152,196 for the year 2020, and it was approved. And then at the Zone 3 meeting, we had continuing discussions on the new water contracts, and the new changes would allow the district to store water at Lopez for future droughts, and then it also would help us with our multi-year water supply planning. Thank you.
Okay.
And one more thing. Also at that meeting, they notified us that the last storm last Wednesday, that was cloud seeded. And so next year, it's a three-year project. Next year, we will partner with Santa Barbara County. Any questions?
Questions from here? Okay. Director Pogel, do you have questions?
No, I was barred for committees for this year, so.
Vice President White?
Yeah. First of all, from the fire board, the Oceano Fire Station will be browned out from 7 o'clock tomorrow morning until about 10 o'clock on Saturday morning because of a shortage of staff. The one person remaining at Oceana would be transferred to Arroyo Grande, so they will have four people on at Arroyo Grande, so they can actually run the big truck and a side engine, and then the regular three people assignment on Grover will be there, so the two will respond to Oceana in case of medical emergency or any other kind of incident. Just to let everybody know that the fire station won't have folks for a couple of days. Zone 11A, the work they did this year on the Rio Grande Creek Channel has held very well through the first storms. There's no problems apparent. They're granting the contracts for the second year. And if I turn to the right pages here. They're actually going to be calling for bids in March for the second year, and there'll be 11 parts to the channel cleanout for the second year. So everything is looking good there. The no trespassing signs are up in the three locations along the levee. The Sheriff's Department reported there is no homeless people living in the levee area that is a part of the zone 11A, there are a lot of people on the state parks living in that area. And state parks is having challenges because of the changes in the law as far as moving those people. And also, it's kind of interesting, state parks has to get special permits to clean up that area because it's a wilderness area and it's protected. So state parks has to get permits to clean up their own place where the homeless has caused challenges. I shouldn't say challenges. There's
debris piles.
Debris piles, yeah. And they are starting. They have a science panel drafted, and they're starting to work on the study of Meadow Creek. They will have, it's about 5.5 years from now, to come up with a complete study for Meadow Creek, to open Meadow Creek up so that it will flow correctly into the Rio Grande Creek channel, at the same time reduce flooding, and there's all kinds of other environmental issues in that area, and I think it's going to be really interesting to see what they can come up with. They got kind of, a long time ago, Army Corps of Engineers engineered the channel that we have now, that we're now changing and correcting. And I pointed out that we're correcting the mistakes that we made in 1950, and they got a little, but it's true. You know, that what we knew then, we closed the lagoon off, and what we know now are two whole different attitudes. So the thing will be to open up the lagoon so it drains again to the Rio Grande Creek like it did before anything was ever done. At the same time, we still have the flood protection. And then I was also at the Oceano Advisory, and lots of things going on there. But one of the more interesting ones was a representative of County Parks Commission. They've done a study, and with 8,000 people in Oceano, we are deserving of 24 acres more of parkland. 24 acres more. And he said that if anybody knew where there was acreage, there's funding. Quimby funds, it's still at the bottom of the pyramid. But he was looking and saying if anybody knew of target property, 5 acres or more, they could maybe get it into the lineup. And I think he could probably, Cynthia was there, she could maybe give some more report on that if you wanted to.
Yeah, I asked if it needed to be 5 acres because it's hard to find a property that big. And he said it could be something smaller as well. So if you know of any possible lots, please let us know.
Yeah. You want to report anything else on Oceana? Okay. That's my report.
Okay, and I have none.
I have a question.
Yes.
When they're clearing the creek, what are the boundaries, you know, beginning and end?
There's a low flow area that's 30 feet wide, and I'm going to get this wrong, and it's outside of that channel that they can clear. They keep, within the 30 feet, they keep the canopy of trees to shade the water. But it's the outside of the 30 feet, and they're directing in certain areas where the creek has gone from one side. It's not in the center of the channel anymore. It's in one side. They're re-engineering it so that when the creek will stay on that side, it won't go back to the other side. They've made some big rocks and boulders and logs and stuff and made structures in the creek to make it go where they want it to go. So,
thank you.
Yeah, and they have not done
the upper,
this is all the lower part where I don't think they've really done, I know they've done nothing from the Highway 1 Halcyon Road Bridge, because they'll go from there to the Los Bears Creek Channel. So it's the upper level, there's 11 spots in the upper level where they'll take debris out next year and remove trees, and then they're putting vegetation on the top of the levee. They're raising the top of the levee 1 foot on the south side and then putting vegetation that they hope will grow. It's kind of...
And so. The rain we've had, they also said it's only stayed in the low-flow channel and we haven't got any flow at all to try out the new one to see how it works. So maybe we get more rain.
Yeah.
Questions?
Okay, so any questions?
Okay, any public comment on the special presentations and reports?
Hi, Rebecca Venturini from Oceano. Were you regarding to my contact info on that report? When you said leaving personal contact info out, were you talking about my info?
Oh, I was talking about everybody's.
Because Carl did reach out to me and ask if it was okay if he had that on there. I just wanted to let you know that.
Oh, okay.
I consented that. Number two, about the park thing, we were just at the Friends of the Oceano Library meeting last night, and they are going to be moving into a new portable, much larger and lovelier. And they want to have a play area next to it, and I believe it's currently an old kindergarten playground on the Oceano School property. But we talked about maybe there might be a way to partner with him to revamp that. I don't know what would be involved since it's Lucy Amar property, but that could be an option for part of that park thing. And then the library could not have to spend their money on that part of it and spend it more on programs for kids and stuff like that. And for the third thing, the e-billing, the e-pay site, is there still an opportunity to get another bid in there? Yeah? Okay. Do I contact you? Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other comment on the reports?
Excuse me. Brad, would you mind closing that door? I'm having trouble hearing.
Noise, cold.
Oh, wait, it just cut out. Never mind.
You
whatever
can
still
that
close fan
it.
Was.
Julie Tacker, and I actually attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District that Ms. Gibson attended. She didn't mention that the board accepted in closed session the resignation of the legal counsel, Gil Trujillo. I think it's important for the community to know that Mr. Trujillo, just a couple weeks earlier when you were there, Ms. Austin, admitted that there was a conflict of interest with him working for the San District and also working for Carmel Nakasha in some capacity for the city of Arroyo Grande, and that the conflict arose related to Central Coast Blue. So some weeks later, he then resigns. What I pointed out to both at the meeting you were at in December and then the meeting you were at last week is that Mr. Trujillo was in that capacity for both of those agencies for 10 months' time. That conflict of interest went on. And I don't believe... I know it was the wrong thing for the sanitation district, and I am curious how it will all play out, how that conflict may have harmed the sanitation district. I asked, and I don't know if it'll ever happen, but asked that the board at the sanitation district actually investigate how that conflict may have harmed the district, and it may not come to light until some many months or years down the line, because the Central Coast Blue project is just in its early stages of formation. But I think it's important that the community know that this happened. So you didn't report on it? I did.
Any other comment?
I'm Mary Lucia Shannon. Shirley, I wanted to thank you for your report. I was very happy to hear that Lopez will now be housing our state water during drought times. I don't think people quite understand how important that is. I know that the previous boards worked on it for years and years, and it was really Pavo who was able to get that, because that was never intended as a retention basin. But by having our water in there, it saves millions of dollars in these huge membrane filtration systems, which is water that goes to Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach, because as the water gets lower and lower, people are sucking harder and harder, and those membranes really get messed up. So by us keeping our water in there, one, it's much more accessible to us quicker, and two, it really helps the neighbors access their lower water. You know, it cuts down on evaporation, and it's just an all-around good policy. I think people need to understand how important it is for us to keep our water here versus San Luis Obispo Reserve. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The water contracts still have to be approved. It's still a work in progress.
Good evening. It's April again. Sorry, I'm at an age where I started out at North Oceano Elementary as a child. Didn't need glasses. Now I'm an old lady and need glasses. I wanted to start off by saying, on this particular issue, the report that you guys presented, is that this may cause people to fall out in shock. But at the last meeting, I really very much agree with what Mary Lucy said. When you choose the people for the committees, to choose the best people, you know, if water person has or someone has an affinity to understand the water issues, to use that person in that committee for the best interest of OCSC and Oceano. I very much agree with that. With that said, having attended the OAC meeting, which Cynthia wasn't there to represent the OCSD, you know, it was very nice that she provided information that your OCSD representative needed assistance on. And thank you for that, Cynthia, that you were here to help Karen with that. I appreciate that very much. I'm disappointed that the FCFA isn't here. They could maybe explain to us during these meetings of how they're so overworked and understaffed that they need our money and can't hit their budgets. I think that might help the A20 if people could understand, but that takes them being here and telling us what's going on. One thing that was discussed at the OAC meeting that hasn't been brought up is the concern by enough residents about fireworks in our community. And the OCSD representative was very open to the suggestion about the OCSD's role in the fireworks and the safe and sanes versus the illegals, et cetera. And I hope that the OCSD continues that dialogue with the FCFA in his reports and with the OAC in the reports that you bring back to us. But again, I would like to reiterate, get the best person for the committee, the person who understands the issues and reports back the facts of what's going on. And whether they have a differing opinion about decisions that are made, that they at least present the items back to you factually and knowledgeably and participate in those committees factually and knowledgeably. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments on the committee? Okay, seeing none, then we will move on to our consent agenda items. We have...
I would like to pull 8A, the minutes, and 8E, the budget adjustment for the generator. Okay. And I just have a question on the accounts payable.
Okay. Anyone else have anything to change on the...
Yeah, I have just a question on the audit.
Okay, so shall we... Let's see if we're going to... Let's go ahead and ask your question on the audit. We're going to...
President Austin,
we just have questions.
Your board can ask questions of staff without pulling items.
Did you want to pull?
It's really a matter of whether
if it
gets to a point of discussion, we should
pull 8A and 8E. But I just have a question on the accounts payable.
Okay, so we'll pull 8A and 8E, and so then we will go ahead and do public comment on B, C, D. Or is there any other questions? Do you have questions?
Yeah. She had a question.
Go ahead.
My question was, somewhere in my mind in the past, I had understood that after 3 or 4 years, we were supposed to switch auditors. And I see that we have another 3-year contract for that auditor. And I just wondered if that was just a fantasy of mine or if that's something that is done.
No, your recollection is correct. The recommendation
an industry standard is after 6 years, you should change your lead auditor. Doesn't necessarily mean changing your audit firm, but they can rotate partners on the audit. But since we've only had 3 years with this firm, another 3 years would take us to six.
Okay, thank you.
So my question on item 8B, on page 10, there are the numbers for Lopez and State Water. Can you just explain what this is?
So we're billed by the county twice a year for both, and these were our Lopez bills, so this is half of it. And then with State Water, they do 60% of it in December, and then they do 40% again in July. So this actual number here for State Water was lowered because when we got the invoice, we looked at how many acre feet they were charging us for, and we looked at what we requested, and we noticed that we wanted to get what we requested because they were billing us for our full 750 acre feet. So that's why the 526 went down from, I believe, was it 575 at the last agenda.
So how much did we request of the State Water?
Well, I want, was it 100?
100? Tony, do you remember how much State Water we requested for this coming year?
It was approximately 200 acre feet.
200. So 200 acre feet, and it's billed twice a year, so that's like $1 million, or?
So
or
this,
and what's the cost for
so
acre foot?
This year is 60% of it, so the next bill was, I thought, was going to be 330 something, but I can get you that number for the next bill due in July.
So for 200 acre feet, it's like 900,000 or something?
Yes.
So what's that come out to per acre foot?
Per acre foot.
Well, the way they bill on your entire allocation. The only thing that changes with your request is the variable costs. So variable costs aren't necessarily the biggest portion of our costs. A lot of it is fixed. So you can't just take what we requested, 200, and divide it by the cost, because we're really paying for our full allocation as far as the fixed costs go.
Okay. Do you think we could see that, how that math comes out, like at the next meeting maybe, just so I can get a better understanding?
So what specifically are you looking for? The bill from the county that shows fixed versus variable?
I want to understand how much we're paying for State Water. I guess that's it in a nutshell. On a yearly basis.
Yeah. So every fiscal year for the audit, I have to put, because DWR, they do it annually, and we report fiscally, so that we have a whole prepaid worksheet that shows the translation, and I can email you that.
Okay. Thank you.
If that's okay. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So all the questions have been asked. So then we'll do public comment on item B, C, and D. And then after that, we'll vote on approving those, and then we'll go back to A and E, right? Is that correct?
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so is there any public comment on items B, C, or D? Okay, seeing none, then I look for a motion.
I make a motion. We approve consent agenda items B, C, and D.
Second. Okay, let me have a roll call, please.
Vice President White.
Yes.
Director Villa.
Yes.
Director Gibson.
Yes.
Director Fulton.
Yes.
President Austin.
Yes. Okay, passes 5-0. Now we will go back to item 8A, review and approval of minutes for December 11th, 2019.
Okay, so I just wanted to point out the bylaws. Section 4.3 says the district secretary shall attempt to record the names and place of residence of persons addressing the board. The title of the
subject matter to which their remarks related and whether they spoke in support or opposition to such matter. So we're not following that right now. So I'd like if we could follow the bylaws. For instance, in item 10D, it says public comment was received by Mary Lucy. And there were three motions on that agenda item, so we don't know which one she was speaking on and what her opinion was for or against. And the wording's just a little awkward. The public comment was received by Mary Lucy. It would be received from or provided by. So if we could start following the bylaws language in terms of keeping the minutes, that would be appreciated. And then also in item 10D, this does not reflect that the social media outreach, social media and technology outreach committee was dissolved by the board. So I think the minutes need to reflect that. That board was formed by a vote of the board, and there wasn't even a vote taken to dissolve it, but it's not reflected in the minutes that it no longer exists.
What's that? Well, do we want to bring the minutes back, have them check and see?
You know, as far as, you know, I think our committee assignments were made. There was no one assigned to that committee. I think that was...
I think we discussed it, but we didn't vote.
So,
and it wasn't agendized either, and that committee had unfinished business. In addition to setting up the social media accounts, that committee met to discuss, for instance, adding acoustic ceiling tiles in here so it would be easier for people with hearing impairments to understand the meetings. We were also looking into translation headphones that would enable people who aren't fluent in English to get a real-time translation during the meetings. So I think there are members of the community, as well as myself, who would have commented on the dissolution of that had it been on the agenda, which it was not.
Well, then, do we want to discuss that when our next, when we read our bylaws in our committees, we can bring that up again?
We certainly can revisit it in the second meeting in February.
That would be fine, then. That's what we'll do. Do we need to change this action, what was actioned here on this agenda? Do we need to redo it?
You can direct that we add the social media committee to our list. That was part of the minutes with no committee members assigned.
Okay. Okay. So with that, then we'll bring the minutes back for the next meeting then for number A.
You can approve the minutes with that revision.
Okay.
What about revising them in accordance with bylaws section 4.3?
So that's another thing we'll have to, well.
We can do that in the future. The practice, this has been the practice of the district, so we're simply following the practice. And
but not following the bylaws.
And that can be brought up in our discussion about bylaws in February. If that's something that is necessary, you could eliminate that detail. So that's up to your...
There's a certain name for these kind of minutes that everybody uses it.
Summary minutes. Yeah.
Is what we use, so that's something we can address. I don't think it's... We could still vote to approve the minutes with the as amended as for the future, to add what we discuss on the future bylaw items.
Well, I would like to move that the minutes be amended to comply with bylaw section 4.3 insofar as they can by reviewing the video. And also that item 10D be amended to reflect the dissolution of the Social Media Technology Outreach Committee.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and take the motion before we do public comment, and then we'll do public comment. Is there any a second on that motion?
Second.
Okay. Is there any public comment?
Julie Tacker, and to take the motion before public comment is backwards because I have something to contribute that I think you need to change your motion for. In fact, it is related to the minutes, item 10D, your January 8th packet for the meeting that was canceled had the committee assignments attached, and they're not in this packet. They need to, this packet is incomplete, and it needs to be attached as part of the minutes. And so, thus, you're going to need to redo that motion.
Good evening. Just a quick comment. The minutes, I would just like to express to myself, on behalf of myself, the minutes are really important because when they don't reflect what happens in a meeting accurately, and someone like me who's old and lived here 47 years listens to these meetings, Mr. Minnery in particular, not to point anyone out, it's really helpful when the microphones are used because it's hard to hear what's being said, especially when I watched in particular the committee assignments and the meetings didn't really reflect what truly happened. So in listening through slow span, and Mr. Minnery was participating in the conversation, but not on mic. So it made it really difficult to even follow in either capacity. So when the minutes reflect accurately, that's helpful. When they don't and I go to audio, it's even more helpful to use the microphone. Thank you.
Nancy McNeil, Oceano. If there was no vote and no action taken to dissolve a particular committee, why would you put that in your minutes that that committee was dissolved? So I don't understand the motion to put that in the minutes when it really didn't happen. So maybe you can reword that to reflect like what really happened. It was ignored or whatever. That's all.
Thank you. Anyone else?
President Austin, if I may make a comment. To be honest, I don't recall any vote to dissolve the committee. My recollection was that your board simply just didn't assign anyone to that. And so there is no committee in that respect, but I don't recall. So if your board would like, staff could take a second listen to it. We could bring the minutes back.
There was,
so that would be another option.
Cynthia had left, so she wasn't here. If you had been here, you could have brought that up about that committee, but you weren't here.
I recall that we brought it up, and I'm on that committee. I was on that committee with Cynthia. And since we were setting up Facebook next door, I just felt like I couldn't take the lead. And Cynthia's not here, so I think we didn't vote on it. We just, like...
Yeah. I thought the committee had completed its work.
Because we're on Facebook. I thought that was what the Facebook is set up now.
Because I'm willing to stay on that committee, but I didn't want to take the lead because I'm not that proficient when it comes to setting up all the social media.
Right.
And Cynthia wasn't here to say if she wanted to continue or not on that committee.
Well, committee. I couldn't have continued because I was barred from all committees.
Well, yeah. Well, exactly. That's true. From all. So
here's another case where we're going to discuss this in the next.
There's currently a motion and a second.
Yeah. Okay. So we have a motion. Can you repeat the motion?
Was the public comment?
We did public comment.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd like to amend my motion to add inclusion of the committee assignment list in the minutes as it was in the January 8th minutes package. But the whole motion was to revise the minutes to comply with bylaw section 4.3 and to amend 10D to reflect that the board dissolved the Social Media Technology Outreach Committee, and lastly to add in the committee assignments lists.
My only comment to that would be the board did not take action to dissolve that committee. So.
Right. Is there a second on that motion?
Second. Could I say something before we vote?
Sure.
Shouldn't we bring this back? Shouldn't we get it all correct and then vote on it? So instead of amending something that we really can't see to read after it's amended and vote on it as a vote on it this month, can it return next month or the next meeting corrected?
Yes.
I'd be more comfortable with that.
So that could be a motion that you make to bring back the meeting minutes at the next meeting.
With the attachment of
with
the,
all
of
the corrections.
The list. But with on the public comment received by Mary Lucy and Nancy Bode, what do you want to have that added into? Is that what they said? Or to change the
yeah, to comply with
the
bylaws.
Minutes.
So yeah, that was maybe I didn't say it correctly, but that would be my preference to implement all those changes and bring the minutes back, not that we're approving them with those changes right now. Do I need to repeat the motion?
Yes, because your motion, and there's a motion and a second, and your one motion was to state that there was a dissolution of the social media.
Well, I watched the video, and there was discussion of, oh, that there's nothing left to do with that committee. Director Villa said she didn't feel comfortable taking the lead on it, so people were just like, well, we don't need that one anymore, and okay, we'll just get rid of that one. That was the discussion.
With no vote.
There was no vote, but.
Then there's no
reason.
So
we currently have a motion and a second. And my inclination is that if this vote fails, the next motion would potentially be to just bring the minutes back. But we have a motion and a second.
Roll call, please.
Director Apogle?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
No.
Vice President White?
No.
President Austin?
No. Does anyone else want to make a motion?
Yes, I would like to make a motion that we bring the minutes back at the next regular meeting with all the corrections contained within those minutes that we have been discussing tonight.
Second.
Get a roll call, please.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Apogle?
Yes.
President Austin?
Yes. Okay, thank you. Now we will move on to item 8E, the consideration of a recommendation to approve a budget adjustment increasing the project budget for the Oceano Generator Project. Let me get to that.
So I was kind of confused when I read this because it's put forward like we're being asked to approve something before it happens, but I reached out to Carrie and found out that the former GM had already approved it and all this work's already complete. So my question is, since we're being asked to approve it after the fact, what was the GM's authority to approve it? In the absence of the board's pre-approval?
So the contract that you've approved with the contractor gives the general manager authority to approve change orders. What this action is coming back for a budget adjustment to fund the change order.
Is there any limitation on the amount of the budget adjustment that can be requested on a change order that's already approved, or could that be for any amount?
You can approve a budget adjustment in any amount, but I would recommend it be sufficient to pay for the change order.
No, I'm just asking as a general question. So could the GM approve a change order for $100,000 and the work's completed and then the board's asked to approve the budget adjustment, or is there a limitation on that authority?
It has to be in line with the contract. You can't just add work. So there's different types of change orders. There's change orders for work that's necessary to complete the contract. Then there'd be change orders that increase the scope of the contract. Those would not be allowed. Does that answer your question?
My question was more aimed at the dollar amount.
There's not necessarily a dollar amount that limits a change order, no.
So the GM would be authorized to approve something for $100,000 if
that was in line with the scope of the contract.
That's a little disconcerting.
Okay, is there any other? Do you have any other questions?
No.
Okay, anybody else?
No.
Any public comment on item 8E? Seeing none, we'll bring it back. So we'll bring items 8A and E.
No, we did.
We already did A, right? 8E for consideration. So is there a motion?
Yeah, I make a motion. We approve a budget adjustment increasing the project budget for the Oceana Generator Project by $18,425 for change order number 2, including design and structural engineering support in the amount of $8,033.50 from facilities funds contingencies and $10,391.50 from public facilities reserves.
Second.
Can we get a roll call, please?
Do we do public comment?
I asked for public comment. Okay, could we get a roll call vote, please?
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Apollo?
Yes.
President Olson?
Yes. Okay, so now that takes us to our business items. We will start with item 9A. Consideration of recommendations to approve a resolution to support Measure A20 for Oceano Emergency Medical and Fire Protection Services.
Okay, so this item, this resolution to support Measure A20 is a resolution that's been passed by our partner agencies in the Five Cities Fire Authority. That being the cities of Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach. As was mentioned in my earlier staff report, we're going to have an informational meeting this Saturday, January 25th, 3 p.m. here at the board chambers to provide the public an opportunity to get more information, ask questions on Measure A20. I would turn it over to Jeff. He wants to say a couple things before you deliberate.
President Austin, directors of the board, so I just want to caution you because your role is limited as a board during this window before the election. You can pass a resolution in support of Measure A. However, keep in mind that your role remains as board members to educate the public, and so I would limit your comments to support or non-support if that's where you are, but it is not appropriate for you to talk about campaigning activities and any other information like that. You're not here to campaign primarily, it's to educate, but it is appropriate for you to support the resolution should you choose to do so.
Okay. Any comment from the board before I open it to public comment?
Yeah. So I support remaining in the Five Cities Fire Authority, but I cannot support a flat tax. because it is regressive and unfair, and I would like the minutes to reflect that per bylaws section 4.2. I had asked this board to consider a more equitable method of calculating the tax, which would be a square footage based tax, and the board refused to consider that, claiming that there wasn't enough time. However, I went to the county assessor's office and was told that they could have pulled the square footage data for all the properties in Oceano in 2 days. I was just asking as a private citizen, it probably could be done faster for the OCSD. So it would have been possible to put before the voters a tax scheme that would have been more fair. As it is now, a single-family homeowner pays $180. The Melodrama pays $180. Old Wands pays $180. Folks in multifamily living, mobile home parks, apartments, they're probably going to pay a few dollars each extra. It's a deeply inequitable scheme, and I cannot support it for that reason.
Is there any other comment? Is there any public comment?
I thought we weren't campaigning.
Yeah.
I just want to make a clarification. So in the Second Amendment to the Second Amendment to the Five Cities Fire Authority contract that your board approved, if Measure A20 fails, Oceano CSD will cease to become a member of the Five Cities Fire Authority as of June 30th, 2021. So I just want the public to be clear that that is what happens if Measure A20 fails. So, statements of support for the Five City Fire Authority and Oceano's continuing to be a part of that, I think, goes hand in hand with the results of Measure A20, and I just want the public to be clear on that.
Thank you.
I heard someone ask for public comment, and then he spoke, but I was already on my way.
That's fine. Speak.
Okay. We're not doing discussion right now.
Oh, well, go ahead then. I'm sorry.
No,
well,
I'm just trying to figure out what's going on.
Because you had called for public comment. I may have misheard you.
Go ahead.
And then someone spoke.
I was on my way. I came all the way up. Whatever. Well, I'm not going away. I think you guys have figured that out for 11 years. Okay? So I am Julie Tacker, and with regard to the item, first of all, I don't like what Mr. Clemens just said, because that's fear-mongering. What Ms. Replogle said reiterates her point all along, was that she didn't support this tax because of the way it's formulated. Not that she didn't support any tax. Your board chose this tax, this formula, and that's why she can't support it. So had you reconsidered or gone back and chosen a different formula, she'd be right on board with you. The problem I have with the actual item before you is the resolution supporting the tax. I know you're allowed to do this, Mr. Minnery. I know they're allowed to do this, but this is thumb on the scale. This is telling your community that we, your leaders, somehow know better than you, and we encourage you to vote for this. You're not taking into consideration the very hardships that this community has. $180 a year is a lot of money. It doesn't come monthly. You can't compare it to a cup of coffee a month. You have to explain that it is on the property tax. You'll be billed twice a year. You're going to have to pay $90 each time. And that is a hardship that I've heard over at the sanitation district, Ms. Lucy. I've heard you say that the residents of Oceano have a difficult time paying the large chunks of property tax. So this will be added to that. And that is part of the education that I hope is in your meeting on the 25th. They have to understand this is not monthly. This is annually. So, another aspect, while this is not about campaigning, the face of Yes on A are two directors. Their phone numbers. They are the ones to contact if you have questions. You're holding the FPPC, it's not a license, the campaign is in your, you're the contact, Ms. Austin. Maybe I'm wrong. It's her phone number on the contact. So
it's been taken off.
Oh,
sort of.
Well, not when it began, and that's how it was formed, and that's inappropriate for board members to be the face of the campaign, which is exactly what Mr. Minery told you months ago. Be careful.
Time's up. Any other public comment?
Nancy McNeil-Oceano. The attorney just cautioned the board not to basically campaign or for this issue or whatever. And then one of the directors, I'm sorry, I can't pronounce your last name, basically campaigned for it or against it. So I don't get how, like, you can just, like, let that go on. If your attorney says, like, don't do it, and then a board member does it, is somebody supposed to call, like, point of order or something like that? So just a, I guess, a process issue.
Thank you. Anyone else have anything to say?
Mary Lucia Sciano. Well, I'm so happy that Julie Tacker at AJ Jury Dury has actually listened to me over the years and used my quotes, so obviously, but they must stand. Yes, the sewer bill attached to the people, only the people of Oceano, is a hardship when we pay our taxes twice a year. And of course, emergency services is going to be another hardship for us, which the surrounding cities just arbitrarily do their fire increases through their budget, and the people are clueless. So this is the most transparent way of informing people about what this tax is about. This is the clearest transparency I can see, is by taking it to the people. And when you have a director who votes against taking it to the people, it's shallow, and it claims to be an attorney. You know, no, there's no other clear, transparent way than letting the people vote on it versus passing it in an annual budget behind people's backs, people who don't pay attention to annual budgets. And that's what the other two cities have done. You know, I'm for letting the people vote. You know, and if you were really, really concerned about the single-family residence, which I happen to live in, which I'm not a renter, right, which, yes, I'm going to vote for that as a senior citizen. You know, I need it, and so is the majority of our community senior as well. You know, so I think that you're going about this at the wrong time. If you want to do it your way, Director Ripogle, then pick another time.
Please don't address the entire board, not a particular director.
Don't pick it when our safety is at risk. Now you want to change the formula. You want to do it your way, right? Which I'm all for listening to your way. When my safety, my household is not at risk. You know, you can't forget. I watched my neighbor's house burn down, and I watched Cal Fire sit on Highway 1 and could not even friggin' find Beach Street. You know? So there's been a lot of problems. And, yes, you know, there are reasons why we want to stay with five cities. I watched Cal Fire sit at the beginning of a driveway and would not drive up that driveway because their truck might get scratched And that woman died. Somebody who had been born and raised here.
Is there any other public comment? Okay, first, well, I'd like to say what Mr. Clemens said was not fear-mongering. It was a complete factual information that the people of Oceano need to know. There was nothing, it's the truth, the facts, and that's his responsibility to say that. And for us to, all we're doing is giving the voters the right to choose this major. And that's what the recommendation is, to approve the resolution to support Measure 820 is us agreeing that we're going to let the voters of Oceano decide how, if they want to support it or not. And I went to the Grover Beach meeting, and their city council wholeheartedly supported us, and along with Director Gibson went to Arroyo Grande's meeting. And, you know, those communities have stepped up and are funding their share. And Oceano is, we want to have the chance to do the same. So with that, any other comments from the board?
I have a comment. I'm going to actually listen to legal counsel. And so I'll just say that I support Measure 820.
Okay. And then is there one of the commenters thought, or we heard there was the comments made by the Director Rapogo campaigning from the dais?
The way I viewed that is Ms. Plogel was restating why she voted the way she voted originally. I'm encouraging you to walk a careful line and understand that really this is about education and whether you support the measure and give the voters the opportunity.
Okay, thank you. Okay, if there's no other comments or anything, we get a motion on this item. Does anyone like to make a motion?
I will, at the risk of whatever. I approve a I recommend that the, no, that's not right, I'm sorry. Yeah, consideration of a recommendation to approve a resolution to support Measure 820 for Oceano Emergency Medical and Fire Protection Services.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call, please?
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Rapoport?
No.
President Austin?
Yes. Okay, the motion passes 4-1. Item 9B, this is the fun one now. We're going to review the color options for the old fire station at 1687 Front Street and make a final color selection.
Turn that over to Ms. Cassiola.
Ms. Cassiola.
President Austin, members of the board, we have the top five colors for the old firehouse over there on your right, their left. Dirk from Bauer Painting Company sent over a book of different options, and the ad hoc committee met and selected those options over there. We developed some slips, and they should be in front of you to help with the selection, maybe voting. That's just a suggestion. You can do it however you guys feel appropriate. But we have to select the color and the sheen, which is a clear coat that's on the farthest one, closest to the door, and I'll walk that over. It's just a clear coat. We have four different options, and I'll walk that over so you can see it closer, kind of. One thing to know, Dirk from Bauer Painting did say the darker the color, the more blemishes or imperfections you'll see in the building. Also, it won't last as long, so the lighter colors will last longer. So that was just a little note that he gave to us once he dropped off the color samples. With that, me and Sally are happy to tally up those votes, if that's how you want to do it, or if you guys find another way. In
so you want to maybe explain a little more? Like, yeah. So the yeah. blue and the, those are the two different, one would be on the building and one would be
yes.
the trim?
So the lower one, the bigger one, would be what's on the more of like the walls of the building, and then the up the slivers up at the top would be on the paneling, like the trim, as he called it.
Okay.
So.
And could we get public comment on this one?
Let's get some
I just had one more question. Are they meant to go in the pairs like that?
Yes.
Or? Okay.
So I've got numbers at the bottom. So the numbers are going to be with both the color, the bigger part, and the trim part. So
and this
yeah.
will be the base color because there will be murals coming after, so we need to think
yes.
of that.
Yes. He did note that even with these, you will have to put a base of either white or whatever the artist needs. I'm sure they have their preference, but yeah, you won't just be able to paint a mural right on top of these. So, with that, we can answer any more questions.
Rebecca Venturini, Oceano resident. I have a master in fine arts and a degree in marketing, and I am a color theory expert, and I would just like to put out there that I would encourage you to vote for number one. People are very trusting in the color blue. Makes them feel at ease, and I think it works perfectly with our beach community and could be some really great branding for the OCSD. Thank you.
May I ask her a couple of, could I ask her some couple of questions? Yeah.
Let's do it.
What is the mood generated by 2, 3, 4, and 5? I'm trying to get some.
Sure. So generally, number five makes people hungry. So even though it is a fire engine and like, you know, firehouse color traditionally, that red will fade real fast as well, like you said. And with yellows and greens, they can cause people to get headaches. Most fights happen in yellow rooms and arguments. It makes people feel agitated. And tan is just... In my opinion, do we need more tan? Like, right? Okay. And we have an entire beach that's tan. So the opposite, the complementary color of tan is that light blue right next to it. So it'll go real nice with our dunes.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was very nice. Very, very educational.
Anybody else got an opinion?
Yeah, Nancy. I would just like, please don't pick number three. I kind of like the red, but I would like go with like number five on the bottom with the number two bottom on the top. You know what I mean?
Which
like red
now?
And tan.
Red and tan. Thank you.
Okay, thank
just
you.
Just don't pick number three.
Three.
Okay, well, I disagree with my wife. I don't like any of them. I don't see terracotta. I don't see earth tones represented besides vaguely too. And I'm so sick of pastels, I could just blah. When I painted my house, I drove this entire South County, and I said, who is not represented here? And it was terracotta. It was southwestern colors. And I guess what color my house is? Clay. So I don't like any of them, but if I had to drive by it every day, I would pick two and close my eyes for blue, the dark blue. But I would really, it's a brick building, right?
No,
this will do disservice to brick. It really will. If it was my building, I would have it sandblasted and recoated.
Tony?
Sweet. Carrie, did they have a recommendation for the sheen, the painters?
No recommendation. They're all kind of clear. I'll walk them over. I don't know if you want me to walk over the sheen now or you guys want to do your color selection
first.
Can
we ask our expert? What kind of sheen?
Sheen.
That's not satin, not gloss, low, or semi-gloss.
Yeah.
Satin, I'd say. That's an eggshell.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had my house, well, I painted my house recently, and the painter who did all the prep work did recommend satin as well and had the same advice on the lighter colors will last longer.
Did the painter have any information on which sheen, you know, holds up or washes or...
Did not really give feedback on sheen. I can reach out if that's what you guys direct us to do.
I support satin.
Can we? Which one is satin up there?
None of them.
None of them. Oh, no, she's the blue is satin, right?
I'm not sure. The sky one.
That's satin.
Well, when I went to Sherwin Williams, they said the semi gloss is more washable for the outside.
My understanding is semi-gloss is usually used for trim, but like main wall surfaces would be like something with less gloss, like a satin.
More gloss on trim than on the...
I can ask him that. He recommended the whole thing the same, but...
Mm.
Yeah, can you find out what he recommends?
Do you guys want to do color today? Or?
Yeah, yes. I'm ready to do a color.
Can we talk about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
One thing is we could also pick something and maybe adjust one of the shades if we're not happy with it. And then my recommendation is once we pick something, we get some actual samples and go and paint a section of the building on each side so that we see how it actually looks. Because a small sample doesn't really... A small sample doesn't really give you the idea of how it's going to look.
I kind of don't like any of them.
That's what I was thinking, and Linda and I
don't like the blue. I don't like the green. I don't like the green. The red's going to fade like crazy. The gold is garish. The navy blue and gold looks like a Roy Granny High School.
I'd like to stay away from it looking like a big sand dune. I mean, you look at Oceano, there are so many kind of beige and sand and
like the railing on the track on the railroad overhead that we have in the blue and the tan. I'd pick that and it doesn't look too good.
I like one.
I would just make the statement that the painter is getting a bit anxious. He's been holding his bid and would like to get started. I'll remind your board the direction was for the ad hoc committee to narrow down the choices. This was the work of the ad hoc committee, and now we're looking for your board to make a final decision tonight.
Okay, so do we want to vote? And we just hand in our votes, and then we tally them. Is that?
Yeah. Why don't we do that and see where we're at?
Why don't we just do down the line first try and see what?
I'll
it
go
is.
Along with what anybody else wants. I'm totally.
I make a motion
mine.
For option one.
Second.
Depending how it looks on the building.
Second.
That was my first choice.
Would be really pretty with a mural because there could be, I could see it with
a
mural.
Well, then you could put the bright colors and it's a good background for them.
Yeah. It could be either the ocean or the sky if it's blue.
Right.
And I think it's good to have something that contrasts with the depot, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so I guess we have a motion and a second for number one as our choice. Do we need a roll call? Or
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director
Yes.
Director
Villa?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yeah.
President
Austin.
Yes. And then the
yeah.
sheen?
Semi-gloss.
Director Gibson, we actually agreed on something.
Say what?
There were two, twice you did. Two times.
And Linda and I are going to resign from that ad hoc committee. Okay.
So do we choose our sheen now? Or?
She's going to get back with
Oh, we're going to get back. Okay, so we're good. Then this one's done.
Oh, well, unless we could see if we might agree on the sheen.
Yeah.
I would vote for satin.
Or another thing you could do is just go with whatever the painter recommends.
Yeah,
if you want to put it in his hands, or
satin,
if you want to make
semi-gloss would be fine with me.
Yeah, I suppose the most critical thing is to get the building painted because it's not going to get any newer.
I make a motion that we go with the sheen will be decided by the painter.
Second.
Okay, all in favor? Aye. All opposed?
I guess I'd like to say if we can limit it to satin or semi-gloss, because I don't think low would be good, because that's very hard to clean.
You think, Kat, that we could tell him we prefer a satin or a semi-gloss and have him those two?
Yeah.
Is that okay with everybody?
Right, everybody?
Yeah.
So that's okay. Just direction to staff.
Direction.
Yeah.
Okay.
That we don't want a gloss or a low. Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now we're down to the resolution of reducing the franchise fee payment from South County Sanitary.
So I'll turn this over to Carrie. This is a follow-up to our discussion at the December meeting. You asked us to bring it back in January, and you also asked us to provide some additional information on the impact to bills, and so that's been provided in the agenda package as well. And with that, if Carrie has anything else to add?
No, I was just going to say on page 55, that's the analysis, and it shows the range with the reduction of 1% to 5%, and we also gave the reduction for a 1.7 reduction because that is what they increased in January. So that would basically take them back to last year's rate. So that's why that's included. With that, we can answer any other questions.
So to me, the purpose of this was to try and lessen the pain of the fire and emergency services tax. And to me, these numbers are so negligible, just pennies or a few dollars or something. It doesn't seem to make sense to me to do a reduction. And we are putting the funds to good use with all our community cleanups and everything. So I would suggest leaving it as is, but what I think could probably help is if we could get the sanitation district bills, people's wastewater bills, taken off of the property tax rolls and just billed normally like a utility. So I don't know if there's any opportunity for that.
They were billed on our OCSD bill in the past. It came with the water bill.
Yeah, if we could go back to that so it would spread it out for people instead of coming in a big chunk, I think that would ease the pain of the fire tax a little bit more than, just a few dollars off the trash bill.
So what, anyone else have any opinion on? What would you explain to us about a 1.7 minus, okay, there's no impact on the reserves. Kind of explain the reserves and how much we lose by the percentages and what it would do to our reserves.
Yeah, so currently reserves in the garbage fund are estimated, I think, to end about $350,000. If nothing is done with the franchise fees, if you were to reduce the franchise fee by 1.7% to offset the garbage rate increase that happened this year, so basically it would be a wash on customers' bills that they wouldn't increase, and it also wouldn't affect or wouldn't negatively affect the reserve balance as it is today. Conversely, if you were to reduce the franchise fee by 5% and bring it down to a 5% franchise fee, you'd have to be funding about $33,000 a year out of reserves for our garbage program. And after 5 years, that would reduce that $350,000 down to around $200,000. So there's nothing that says you can't revisit this every year, but, you know, we're at whatever your board decides.
So at a 5%, a resident would see
So can you clarify, reducing it by 1.7%, that is awash with the raise in the garbage?
Yeah, so in January, the garbage rates just went up 1.7%. So if you decrease the franchise fee by that, essentially they'd be paying for garbage this year the same as they did last year, the community.
I like that.
But it's, as Director Replogle mentioned, it's for the smaller customers, the smallest bin size, it's really negligible as far as dollars.
Is there anybody else want to, before I open the public comment? Is there any public comment? This item?
Julie Tacker, and I think you should just do it. Let the people have their money as long as they can. The $350,000 reserve is obscene. What on earth are you going to do with that? Build a castle to trash? I don't get it. You know, you need to start letting the people keep their money longer.
Well, that's my thought too. I'm thinking the 5%, it would show up on the bills less, and it would make people feel it would just, you know, it's not a lot of money. And $350,000 is a lot, and I think we'd be fine with the close to $200,000. So I would be in favor of any kind of a reduction. It's the word reduction. It sounds better than increase to people. So anybody else want to chime in?
I mean, if we do the 5%, it's less than a dollar.
No, it's $1.22.
No, it's 89 cents. For
it's less than a dollar.
Wait, 17. Okay, so I'm not.
It's 78 cents. Is that true? For the smallest 32-gallon waste wheeler, but as you see from when you get to the larger sizes, that savings goes up.
It goes up a lot for people with dumpsters. A lot of people, most people have the. The 64-gallon in town. Most people don't have the little one. So that would be $24.79. Be $1.12 for the 64-gallon. So you're looking at $78 and $1.12. So we had no more public comment, right? So is there any? Sure.
Does that include recycling? Rebecca Venturini Oceano, does that include recycling and trash?
Well, your recycling's free.
Okay.
So that, yeah.
Is there any reduction on green waste on that?
No, it's only garbage. I think you don't pay for the green waste either.
You do for the second one.
I'll make a motion that we recommend to approve a resolution reducing the franchise fee payment from South County Sanitary Inc. at a rate of 5% decrease.
Second.
Okay, it's moved and seconded.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Apollo?
Yes.
President Austin?
Yes. Okay. Is it 9 o'clock that we go past?
Yes. You'd need a motion to go past 9.
It's 9:30. I've got the bylaws up here, and I just checked
it's
that.
It's 9:30. Okay, then we can. But does anyone need a break or anything?
Yeah, could we take a 5-minute
break,
please?
Sure, let's take a 5, 6, 7-minute break.
Correct. So this, let's see, what is today? Wednesday. So this Friday, comments are due on options that the State Parks has put out for their public works plan, options and concepts. I've prepared your board's direction previously on this was to have Director Replogle do the heavy lifting on items related to the public works plan, and with general manager review. That's what's happened here. We have a suggested letter to comment on the public works plan. So your options are either you can choose not to submit comments, you can choose to submit the comments as they are, or you could submit comments with changes. That's up to your board.
Before we have another letter.
So what was that?
I wrote a revised letter that I wanted to submit.
If you wanted to do that, that would be submitting comments, amended comments. Yeah. If you have an option to the letter that was prepared.
I wasn't comfortable with this letter, and there were a few things I wanted to change, so I had the letter done up.
Did you know? Is this in the package also?
Yeah, there was a letter in the package. And then I wrote another letter because I didn't like this letter.
But didn't you submit one in the package also?
No. Oh, okay. There was one in the package, yes. It was submitted from, Will submitted it.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, it's right here.
So, but.
Okay, so it has your name on,
right.
On it.
Right. That's the state, because I'll sign it.
Procedure.
I sign it at the procedure.
Procedure.
Yeah.
But
that's the letter, and I'll explain. It starts out, first off, we're a government organization, so if you're going to address a public works plan, you want to start just putting things out with facts and truths. And you don't want to write things that are hearsay. And then, so the letter started out, increased trash and illegal dumping. Some visitors to the Oceano Dunes use the streets of Oceano as a dumping ground for unwanted large items such as furniture and have been observed dropping litter from their vehicles as they exit the park. In addition, park visitors set off illegal fireworks in town on the 4th of July, leaving debris in the streets. The OCSD must collect and dispose of this garbage. So on mine, I said that the impacts are increased trash and dumping, and the OCSD must collect and dispose. But all this that the off-roaders are in here dumping trash and couches, furniture, that's just things that people say. We don't know that as a fact. This hasn't been proven. We don't have written documentation. And to judge a whole group like that, this is more like politicking. We just need to stick to the facts and the truths.
I have seen photographic evidence of people driving off the dunes and dropping things. I don't see a particular member of the public here who took those photos, but she would definitely have something to say about that because she's seen it. And regarding the fireworks, at the last OAC meeting, and there's a couple of people here can back this up, the Commander Emmanuel said that people do come off the dunes to set off fireworks in our town. So that's
I still don't think that's
unfactual information.
From this organization. It's not. Then we need a deposition from Commander Manuel.
We don't
saying
need
that.
A
I mean,
deposition.
I'm just being exorbitant, but it just takes the credibility away from us. I'm telling you, it does. And you don't just say like, oh, they come in here. It begs on our credibility because maybe they do, maybe they don't. But you don't have, like, there's like millions of people come here,
You have businesses that support. Let me finish. That support, and this is inflammatory, I think. We can say that increased trash and dumping, that is one of the aspects, but to go and list all these things, you don't know if the illegal park visitors set off. We do a lot of illegal fireworks on our own here in this community, so I just don't feel that that's important. As for the rest of it, and I thought that the main thing of this letter, the main comments that we should be making are the proposal to close Grand Avenue vehicle entrance, and I suggested we put it at the front. That's the main thing of the whole purpose of this letter is we do not want to see Grand Avenue closed and Pier Avenue become the main access without a state, a southern access. That gives you, okay, yeah, that's important. We'll look at that. And then you start in like, oh, and they come in here. And that is, then they just lose interest and they go, they're just complaining about, you know. You just stick to what affects our operation here at OCSD. Yes, the OCSD must collect the garbage. The Pier Avenue exit, the safety, the sewer lift station, that's, I agree with that when staff needs to enter the wells. I know the cars are backed up a lot, way up to to Old Wands, you know, so there needs to be something done about the traffic on Pier Avenue. And on a big weekend, if they need to maintain that lift station and they can't get to it, it could be serious. I left the damage and the risk to the critical water and sewer, the fire hydrant on Pier Avenue, although that's not, you know, the business supports the dunes. I don't know if that should even, the more I think about it, that's not in the park, that's on the county sidewalk and the ATV rental store. How many times have we replaced it there? Three times in the last, since that new person got in there? It's been two or three.
Not counting lorries.
And have they paid for those replaced? They've paid for that, right? Mm-hmm. Paid for it. Do you...
I think we can leave it in.
Yes, that hydrant has been hit, I would say, 5 to 7 times.
5 to 7?
Yes, and it has been paid for at that location every time. Except for, I believe, one time there was a hit and run was not paid for.
Okay, so that's fine. And maintenance of the wet well on Pier Avenue. And let's see the minute. So the only problem I had was the hearsay. And so I wouldn't sign that the letter as it is presented here. So if there's any other suggestions or comments, I'd be welcome to hear.
Having just read the book, we might be able to say more about increasing trash and dumping, but I would agree that, you know, everybody uses the streets of Oceano as a dumping ground. The homeless are the ones.
The homeless are the ones that steal the furniture and leave it dumped on the street.
And, you know,
and,
but
or
I mean,
it gets cleaned out of the creek.
By generalizing, I think we make it too broad, and it does give somebody who's reading it the ability to point to that and say, well, they're just bitching. And I would agree to that, but maybe we could say something about the OCSD must collect and dispose of garbage.
Say on it with more increased traffic to Pier Avenue.
And more increased traffic to Pier Avenue and increase would be a severe increase or severe challenge. Or add something to the increased trash.
Well, I just think that says it. Why do we have to just, they must collect and dispose of the garbage.
Yeah, okay.
Focus on the one entry. I think that's the most concerning.
Yeah.
And we don't say anything here on traffic impacts, really, do we? Outside of Pier Avenue. I got to read it.
Well,
again.
That all goes with it. Yep. Pure so Avenue gets impacted.
If I could make a comment on that. So we're trying to make comments on impacts to services that the district provides. And while, yes, there is increased traffic, that would be the county's service that they provide roads to our community. So probably not quite appropriate for us to discuss impacts to services that we don't provide.
Well, this is just a single incident, but they had an event at the beach that was so large that the traffic jam was in front of our fire station, and our fire truck could only get out the back way.
That was the
Duck Fest. I mean, that's
They don't do that
statement.
Anymore.
No, but what I was talking about is if all of the traffic, say the 4th of July, all of the traffic was on Pier Avenue, it could block up as far as our fire truck
and
station.
It would. Yeah.
And it would.
That's a good point.
That is something. The impact to safety with too many streets blocked.
And that would be a valid statement if you'd like to add
the
that.
Pier that would push all the
traffic
through the Pier
Avenue.
Well, I know,
but I mean, but the whole thing is you've got all that traffic in Pier, you're not going to be able to get an ambulance to your house. You're not going to be able to get an ambulance to the Strand, a fire truck to, and yeah. that is another impact that hasn't been discussed, is traffic, I think. Unless I'm wrong.
Well, if you want to add a sentence, I mean, this has to be in by Friday, so if there's
that.
A sentence that you want to add that it could backups on Pier Avenue
well,
could,
or
lead
increased,
it,
increased
could lead traffic into the
could lead to
jeopardize the safety.
Jeopardize the safety for emergency vehicles trying to leave. I don't know.
Trying to get into the area.
I think, yeah, let's hear from the public.
Rebecca Venturini. Hear me out. So I think that closing Grand Avenue is a step in the right direction as far as less driving on the beach, because if we were to close Pier Avenue at some point but Grand Avenue was still open, people would still drive across all the way down the beach and still be crossing the creek. The creek entrance, or the crossing of the creek is, I think, one of the main issues that needs to be addressed. So in this letter, what I would like to see is, and it would solve the traffic jam in front of the fire station, is closing down Grand Avenue and closing down Pier Avenue at the same time and having an entrance south of the creek. That way, that traffic wouldn't be coming this direction. It would be further down the road. Secondly, with the trash issue, is there a way for you to see, like, a percentage or something of how much more trash is collected on the 5th of July or on that weekend after the 4th of July? Like, how many more pounds or something, maybe? I mean, it seems like there should be some sort of a record. And then if you were to state actual numbers or you know, percentages in that letter, it would be more impactful than...
Well, the trash, if you're talking, it would be in the town here. It's from the people in the town. So I don't know how you would differentiate. And if the off-roaders are doing it on the beach, that's a state beach.
Oh,
so
I see what you're saying.
See what I'm saying?
Is there access to those numbers or no?
I don't know. And for the, you know, yet close Grand and Pier and get a Southern, that sounds since 1970s. Nobody can. Well, we can't get a Southern access. We've been tried for years and years before, and nobody wants it anywhere else. So
yeah.
That's one of the big.
And I'm not talking about move it down to Oso Flacco or anything like
no,
that.
No, I know. I know where the perfect place is, but it just everyone fights it.
Okay, thanks.
And we get left with it.
Aren't the train tracks part of the problem too?
Yeah, it's the train.
Good evening, board. My name is Jeff Edwards, and I think it's critically important that you do submit a letter by Friday in connection with the proposed public works plan. You may know that it's the intent of Parks to use the public works plan to replace the current coastal development permit that guides the operation of the park. And in looking at the two letters that have been advanced, I do like the revised letter in the sense that it places up front what I believe is the critical issue, and that is the entrance at Pier Avenue. Clearly, closing Grand to vehicular access is going to consolidate and galvanize Pier Avenue as the de facto entrance. You may have seen an email I sent out this morning and included some attachments, and I'll get into that in a second. But again, I think it the short-term impacts from noise, trash, and those kinds of things are less important. They don't affect the long-term revitalization of Oceano. The closure of Pier Avenue directly affects the revitalization of Oceano. With the closure of Pier Avenue, it makes many things possible. So regarding the entrance study, I would simply expand on the letter, the revised letter. As I indicated in my email sent to you, an alternative access study was prepared in 2006. It was commissioned by State Parks. Condor Environmental prepared the document, and it evaluated a number of locations south of the creek. Most notably was the ConocoPhillips site, which is currently Phillips 66. That appears to be an ideal location for a primary entrance and staging. That's one of the things the public works plan is intending to do, is to combine the entrance and the staging. Right now, as you know, Pier Avenue is the main entrance. The staging occurs a couple miles to the south. That's awkward for the park's operations. So ConocoPhillips owns quite a bit of land at that location, and they actually own 600 acres that is currently part of the ODSVRA. Coincidentally, through that land is the maintenance road that Phillips 66 uses for their ocean outfall. That current maintenance road could be formalized to provide access to the park. And in fact, it's a more direct access. When you enter at Pier Avenue, you have to drive fairly far to the south to really get to the riding area. An entrance at ConocoPhillips or Phillips 66 would actually reduce vehicle miles traveled and make the park entrance and exit more efficient. So with your indulgence, Madam President, I'd just like to extend my remarks a little bit and say that the park, it has been suggested that the park close in the near term. And I would submit to you that the longevity of the park will allow state parks to make the kind of investment, literally millions of dollars, that would facilitate this new entrance. And to be able to operate the park for the next 20 years or so would allow them to recover those costs. So in closing, I would suggest, again, that you strengthen the letter, that you allude to the 2006 Condor Environmental Study. That is really, it's an entrance study. It's unlikely that Parks is going to do another one, frankly. I would strengthen that and ask Parks to close Pier Avenue as an entrance to the ODSVRA by the end of 2022, as an example. Compel them to close Pier Avenue. Oceano's future depends on it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. In the revised letter, I like that the comments about Grand Avenue are up front. I agree with Mr. Edwards; they should be strengthened. But let me talk real quick about the trash item. What Linda proposes is really too simplistic, and I think you should explain that the cost for any cleanup that may be left by visitors is borne by the ratepayers of Oceano and not state parks. So wherever that trash comes from, and of course you know some of it comes off the beach.
Sure.
So just, you know, be vague about where it comes from, but be succinct in that it costs the district to clean it up. With regard to traffic and emergency services and the congestion, to keep it centric to the district, you do provide emergency services, so you want to say something about the congestion fills up the streets, making it difficult for emergency vehicles to access the island and the strand. Something you said, Linda, I have never heard you say before from the 70s that everyone wants a southern accent. I've never heard you say that.
So, well, it's true. I lived it.
Fantastic.
Have all the documents.
That's terrific. This is totally news to me, and I'm thrilled that that's you feel that way.
Of course. What? Why wouldn't I?
I haven't heard you say it, and I've only been coming 11 years. If you've been saying it for 40 years, that's terrific, but I've missed that part. This is your opportunity for the five of you to say so. Close Pier Avenue. It's not about the impossibilities or the complications in putting it south of Oceano. The fact is, I believe all five of you, now that I've heard Linda say it, agree. Close Pier Avenue, and everything else on this letter is fixed. Closing Pier Avenue mitigates all the other things that you raise here. So come out strong and say so in this plan. Fight for Oceano. I know you can. I know you can, and I hope you do.
Any other comment?
I just want to bring up at the...
You already had public comment. I'm sorry.
It's different. Can I say it? Please.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. The other night at the OAC meeting, a woman named Peggy, who lives on the Strand, came and asked if there was anything that we could do regarding the public's work plan to reach out to parks and ask for them to please not extend the boardwalk past south of Pier Avenue in front of all those houses there. I don't know how, I'm trying to figure out how the Community Services District might be impacted by a boardwalk being in front of those houses, but if there is a way that you can incorporate her requests, she's one of the last remaining actual residents that owns a house and lives on Strand because so many of it is vacation rentals, and she's, you know, come to us, and so I'd like to just send her request to you guys. Thank you.
I talked to Peggy. She's a friend of mine. What was I going to say? Oh, that was back when the Oceano Improvement Association was taking care of the Oceano, and they fought to get the southern access, they're the reason we don't have the ATVs riding in between the houses and all. Like, they're the reason we got traffic down to Pole 2. At that time, it was a big fight, but they got it down there. And so for many, many years, the Oceano Improvement Association, and they're the ones who formed the OCSD, who fought to form so we would have more local control and not have the county control everything.
And wasn't Pier Avenue a temporary thing?
Yeah, when it was in the 82 plan, it was only temporary. But then again, Pier Avenue, the southern access thing, I'm not in favor of closing Pier Avenue because I think if we had a southern access for the camping, that would take the stress off of Pier Avenue, because there's all the local people here like to drive to the beach in their cars, and it's a thing that everyone does, and then they wouldn't be able to do that. And the fishermen and there's tons of uses on that beach other than off-road uses, and I know it, you know, because I grew up on there. So to take away the access for the locals that like to drive on the beach, they go down Grand and come up Oceano, or go Oceano and go to Grand to take a ride on the beach. So I'm not in favor of closing Grand, but I am in favor of a southern access for the camping and the off-road. So.
And they also shouldn't close anything without a southern route.
So that's what our main thing should be, that they cannot close Grand Avenue until they do have a southern access, and that'll be...
Well, that's the purpose of doing the entrance study, which the Coastal Commission has directed them to do an entrance study. State Parks has said that they're not planning to do one. They're going to dust off the Condor study, which is more than 10 years old, and say that's good, but that study was deficient. It didn't consider any of the impacts of using a county road, Pier Avenue, as the main entrance to the dunes and all the impacts on our local community from that. So I think it's important to say that they need to do an entrance study. Of course, I'm in favor of closing Pier Avenue, but that's probably outside the scope of anything this board would agree to recommending.
So what do we want to do? We want to beef up the grant vehicle entrance with no new alternative entrance currently under consideration. This would push all traffic Pier Avenue. I want to say that would adversely affect the emergency vehicles and
law enforcement.
Law enforcement. Is traffic would back up. There would be large backups that there already are. Large backups, but so how do we say that it would be worse?
Perhaps we could add a bolded section traffic impacts on fire and emergency services.
Yeah.
And
like that,
then say that at times fire trucks have been unable to exit the fire station on Highway 1. Okay, on what end?
Getting to the strand, getting to the fire truck.
It's difficult to access the strand area of Oceano.
Even for people that live there, it's hard to wait hours to go home.
And it will be exacerbated if the Pier Avenue entrance is the only entrance. Something to that effect.
Holidays in the summer. Just kind of put traffic impacts and then say. Mm-hmm.
So.
As it relates to our jurisdiction, emergency fire.
So you had a recommended letter in the board package, which you've substituted an alternative to that. That it sounds like most people are supportive of that, the letter that you've submitted. And add to that letter traffic impacts to our emergency services.
And then maybe on the in the trash, what I think that the OCSD must collect and dispose of this garbage at a cost to the ocean cost
to the ocean taxpayers.
To the
ocean
taxpayers.
Payers.
Yeah.
When dealing with off, well, just say on yeah. At a cost to the Oceano tax rate payers or taxpayers or however. And say that we're
perhaps
vehemently want them to.
One of you can make that in the form of a motion.
To pursue a entrance study and work, you know, that, what was that, get that, revamp the condor.
When did you make the motion?
Make that motion.
Well, this is don't carry it too much further. We're going to have to. We won't be able to get it done by Friday unless we have a study.
Well, no, I think we need to. I agree that we need to strongly do more on the Grand Avenue vehicle entrance. Strongly oppose any closure of the Grand Avenue access until there is a southern access, and recommend strongly again that they perform the entrance study, revisit the condor.
I think the language there is fine.
Just
what you have in this.
Oppose this proposal and recommend they perform an entrance study.
Yeah, I think what's there is good. If we just add in the language about the traffic impacts on fire and emergency services.
And access to Strand Avenue.
I just access to the Oceano Street, the Oceano
yeah,
residents.
It's not just
we don't
Strand.
Need to, yeah, it's
not just the Strand, it's that whole area.
Should we say beach residents or
no.
the beach areas?
I would just say the community west of Highway 1, yeah, impact any emergency access to the community west of the Highway 1 and the sanitation,
just Highway 1.
Just emergency fire vehicles west of Highway 1.
Linda, maybe you should make the motion.
Okay, well, I'd like to make a motion that we revamp the second letter, adding under the proposal to close the Grant Avenue, add to after pushing Oceano Dunes SVRA traffic through the Pier Avenue entrance, and then add a sentence, this would have adverse impacts on emergency
fire.
And fire, emergency and fire vehicles serving the
community west of Highway 1.
Community west of Highway 1. And then the dumping, at a cost, at an added cost to the Oceano
ratepayers.
The lift station thing was fine. I think that was it. I make a motion that we submit this with those changes. And the entrance study we decided was okay.
So we have a motion.
So I made a motion. So is there a second?
Second.
Let me get a vote.
She did whoever was down there.
President Austin.
Yes.
Director Gibson.
Yes.
Director Villa.
Yes.
Director Repolden.
Yes.
Vice President Wynn.
Yes.
President Austin, perhaps you could make a motion to extend the meeting past 9:30. You just need a voice vote. It's fine.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion that we extend to, 9:45? We have to stay at a time. We'll have to extend it till... I'd like to make a motion we extend the meeting past 9:30.
Second.
All in favor?
No.
Okay, we will continue. So do we have...
I said no. I'm tired.
Oh, I know. I agree. You made me. Okay, so where are my agenda? It gets hard at this hour. We're down to the Central Coast Blue, I believe. Here we go.
Yeah. Correct.
This could be weak. Don't need to look.
So this item is, again, a review of a letter to be submitted in response to the notice of preparation of a draft environmental impact report on the Central Coast Blue project. Again, we have a recommended letter in the package. You can either choose to not submit comments, to submit comments as is, or to submit comments with changes. And Jeff, did you have something you wanted to discuss on the scope of this item? Okay. Just the scope of this item is intended to make comments on the notice of preparation, so it's what we want them to consider in the EIR, and really shouldn't go beyond that scope of discussion.
Gotcha.
And there's no cost to doing this, being involved?
No, there's no cost to this action.
Okay, is there any discussion before I help implement?
I don't think we should submit this letter. I'd be fine with not submitting any letter. I have a real problem with the last sentence, which is a little fawning. It says, we thank you for your leadership on this regional effort to implement a groundwater recharge project in the South County. Pismo Beach City Council and staff have been saying really snarky things about Oceano at their meetings regarding Central Coast Blue, and putting in a statement like that just really bothers me. We shouldn't be fawning over them in this project when they're saying that they're going to force us to sign an agreement to give up some of our water rights and things like that. So, and I see things that are missing out of here that I would suggest adding if we are going to submit a letter. We should include that
the alternate location that's not in the floodplain and not in the tsunami run-up zone should be the preferred location rather than the South Slo County Sanitation District plant, which is going to have to move inland, managed retreat because of sea level rise. Doesn't make sense to put infrastructure at that location. I also wonder, I'm not sure if it goes to this, their notice of preparation, but I wonder why the South Slo County Sanitation District is involved in it and contributing money, because that passes cost to Oceano ratepayers.
Okay, thanks. Any other comments?
I'll wait till after.
I'm not finding that where we thank you.
The very
it's
last.
The last line of the letter, right before sincerely.
Just because they're unpleasant.
We need to
mean
be
we have
above
to be.
That, right?
Well, we don't have to be fawning,
Director
though.
Director White, could you repeat that? I can't hear.
What's that?
Can Director White repeat what she said?
What I just said. I just said that we don't. If they're being unpleasant, we don't have to be. Was all I said.
Okay.
Okay. So,
I would just say take it out if somebody really hates it.
I think he's just trying to be polite, like show.
I think we don't want to burn any bridges.
That's kind of the thing I'm thinking. We don't know what's. Like we said in your staff report, you know, the purpose of this comments is to address the scope and context of the EIR and are not intended to serve the purpose of commenting on the project. We just want nor to advocate whether you believe that the project is desirable or not. It just seeks to address district services that could be affected and impacts on the community. So I think we need to just stick to the specifics and not get involved in what, and that will come up again at another time, but just take care of this now.
Really?
Just let them know that we're, you know, looking out for our community, and then as it comes to the sample wells or the sanitation district, that'll all come up at another time, and we'll just, this is all we're doing now is just making sure that we address.
You know, I wanted to note also that Pismo Beach planned a public meeting on this notice of preparation at the same time as this meeting. So none of the leaders of Oceano or many members of the community who were at this meeting could attend that public meeting on this, which was pretty inconsiderate.
I see this letter as protecting our district.
I think that's all it's meant to do at this time. I don't think we want to get into anything else at this time, because there are things that will come up that we'll have to deal with. And I think it's best to just stick to what these comments are.
Can we at least add that the preferred location should be out of the tsunami run-up zone and the floodplain and not the sanitation district? That's something that they're looking at in the EIR, right?
Are they still looking at that?
Site analysis would be included in the EIR. And you make a statement in the letter that's consistent with past statements your board has made that we feel the EIR should include co-equal analysis of site alternatives for the project. So that's consistent with what you've discussed in the past as part of your platform. So that's why that was included in there.
Yeah.
So I'm suggesting that we modify that.
And if it, I don't know if it makes a difference, but I think they're in escrow for a property that's not at the sanitation district.
Right, Grover Beach.
Grover Beach, so. I'm sure that will be included in the site analysis, and we're just simply asking them to do a co-equal analysis of site alternatives.
And as far as I think just normal letters, they end like you ended it. Thank you for your, I don't think it's, I think it's fine.
So I'll make a motion.
We have public comment first.
Public comment.
Good evening, board. My name is Jeff Edwards, and this letter appears overly simplistic to me. The Central Coast Blue project is highly complex. There's a lot going on. You know about the notice of preparation, and indeed there was a meeting at Pismo Beach this evening to consider the notice of preparation. There's also a memorandum of agreement that is being considered by Arroyo Grande, the Sand District, and Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and the Sand District. Additionally, Pismo Beach had a meeting on December 3rd to talk about the MOA, and I would like to read you a statement made by their city manager, Jim Lewis. Quote, open quote, "So at the end of the day, the only way that this project, CCB, works is if all agencies are members and paying, and if you're not paying member, you sign or told to sign or through other incentives or ways will sign an agreement that you will not pump more than you're pumping today. Pismo Beach wants your groundwater entitlement." And this is serious stuff. They went on, they made threats to litigate this. And I think this takes CCB, as it relates to this, your district, into a whole different realm. They have threatened to take you back to court to modify the stipulated judgment that established your groundwater rights. So, I would not send a letter. This is a very serious matter. I would refer it to your counsel, and I would ask that no further communications between your staff or your board members are made with the city of Pismo Beach until this threat is disposed of. Pismo Beach is a bully, let's face it. They're the wealthiest city in the county, and it's usually their way or the highway. And so I would encourage you all to watch for your own benefit the meeting of December 3rd, the Pismo Beach City Council meeting. You can listen to them for yourselves. Eric Howell, a coastal commissioner, is saying basically the same things. They're going to make you comply. So, again, I would be very concerned about any letter that is not written by legal counsel. Thank you.
Julie Tacker again, and I am having your staff pass around a segment of that December 3rd meeting that I transcribed. You'll get your copy there. If you go to the third entry by City Engineer Benjamin Fine, Ben Fine, he says, "So if Oceano is not willing to sign this agreement, then the option would be to relocate the injection wells inland so that they don't see a benefit from the project. If you go to your staff report and you look at the attachment for the notice of preparation and you look at this, page 7 of that attachment, there's the map with the alignment of the injection wells, and the little red dots are the production wells. So if he is true to his threat, And we're going to realign the wells, the injection wells that are in Oceano, somewhere inland beyond Halcyon, I guess, so that you don't suck up that water. What is the whole premise of this injection? The project is supposed to be about seawater intrusion, and these injection wells are a seawater barrier. If you move these wells to the other side of Oceano, they're exposing you, theoretically, to seawater intrusion. This flies in the face of the whole idea of the project, that we would move the injection wells away from Oceano so you can't benefit from the project. Take this home, watch the meeting, read the entire transcript, and realize these are not your friends. We've said for years that Northern Cities Management Area, will manage your water away from you. This is how they're doing it. The Oceano claims they can't afford it. What do you mean claims you can't afford it? Clearly you can't afford it. You're trying to pass a fire tax. We're saving people money, 78 cents for their trash. You can't afford to participate in this, and you don't need their water. You just need access to the water you've already been adjudicated, and it is within your rights. They are managing their water away from you without paying for it. For years, you didn't pump the groundwater to be the good neighbor over the so-called seawater intrusion, which I still don't believe exists. And they're going to hold you to the 2018 Northern Cities Management Area report where you pumped just 246 acre feet of that groundwater. They're going to hold you to that. You're entitled to 900. You need to fight back. And I think Mr. Edwards' idea of sending a legal letter is probably apropos.
Heard.
I think this is not new. I mean, I've heard.
Yeah, this is nothing new to me, but do we want to go ahead and
We know what, you know, but we have.
You have the option to do nothing. You have the option to submit as is or make changes. So, really.
I think we should do nothing. This letter doesn't really say much, and they're really. The substance after talking about what the OCSD, what services we provide, is just it should address the impacts to our services, and the most likely impact is, and you should evaluate the impacts to groundwater, any potential degradation of the water quality. It's like, I mean, they're going to do that anyway. It's not, we're not asking them to do anything that they wouldn't have thought about, and it's
just putting it on record is really what doing.
Yeah,
that's
but there are much bigger issues here, as have been pointed out, and I don't see this litter as contributing really much in substance. I think it's better to just keep our powder dry and, you know, move forward at a subsequent meeting with discussion of the substance of Central Coast Blue.
Were we asked by them for a letter? Did they ask us for a letter?
They notify all agencies to submit comments if the agencies desire to.
And Pismo Beach has put itself in a hostile position towards Oceano by the comments that they've made. So this letter doesn't seem appropriate at this point.
Get us any legal. It's just basically stating that address any environmental impacts to any one of the services provided by our district. I think it's just a letter, just a response to I don't see any reason why it couldn't, and then when we get into the other room, I think the letter's fine.
In light of what was just everything that was said, I don't think we should say thank you for your leadership.
That's fine with me. Yeah, I mean, I know they have not been.
I can take that home.
I mean, just give them this, the facts of, you know.
You can certainly take those two lines off, but I think we ought to just at least
just say thank you for your.
Like we're still here. You know, thank you for your consideration.
Someone want to make that in the form of a motion?
Yeah.
I move.
Okay. Shirley, you're the water person. You get to do it.
I move that we send the letter to the City of Pismo regarding the notice of preparation of a draft environmental impact report for Central Coast Blue, deleting the last two lines.
Second.
So just end it. Cite alternatives for the project sincerely.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Poole?
No.
President Alston?
Yes. Okay. I think we're just about down there. Let's see here. We've got
time.
Hearing items, received written communications. We all received those in our packet. Future agenda items.
Pretty well set that up earlier.
I would like to add to future agenda items an open meeting discussion of Central Coast Blue and whether or not we are participating in it, because we have not had that discussion, but at a number of city council meetings I've been to, including Pismo Beach and Grover Beach, they have talked about how Oceano has decided not to participate in Central Coast Blue. And I think that came just from some staff discussions in back rooms. So we ought to have that discussion at a public meeting where the public can become informed on the project and have an opportunity to provide input on what our decision should be.
So to be all, I just...
It's not staff, it's this body, this board, that should make a decision whether we're in or out of Central Coast Blue. And that has not been done.
That's true. I would suggest it go back down to March because we have enough stuff to do in February.
What?
I mean, it's nothing that we have to make a decision on this week. Certainly, right?
Yeah, I'm fine with it not being at the next meeting, but I do think that we need to, you know, agendize it for a future meeting.
I would support that.
Just put it on the list for future agenda items. After the vote.
After the fire tax.
We need to get, we're going to have our bylaws, we're going to be busy.
Can we say March then?
Look at it for March, unless something else bigger comes up, maybe. I mean, it's.
I would just remind the board that the statements that Pismo and maybe other agencies are making related to our ability to pump from the groundwater basin is a subject of litigation and would be appropriate to discuss in closed session. I would recommend doing that before coming back in open session so that we can narrow the focus down on what would be discussed regarding Central Coast Blue.
That's perfect. I think we should then put it on as a closed session item in March so we can understand, because there are the things that probably shouldn't be discussed in public if we do have litigation issues coming up. And we know we do, so I think we need to be responsible in that area.
Well, then I would suggest it be on an agenda for maybe end of February in closed session to talk about the portion that needs to be in closed session, and then in March we have an open session discussion about participation or not participating.
I think if you see what everything else we have, definitely put it on as a closed session first, and then we can make it an open session.
So the direction was?
Does that everyone else agree with that?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
In February, put it on a closed session and then move it.
Okay. I think, is that it for the order today?
Can we just go over the other items that were going to be on the future agenda items that we talked about earlier?
So we're going to have a first meeting in February, a discussion on the bylaws, and then second meeting in February, we're going to approve the revised bylaws and revisit the 2020 committee assignments.
As well as the social media technology outreach committee, right?
That would be included in committee assignments. And then a closed session item on Central Coast Blue for the second meeting in February. That's what I heard tonight.
And an open session item in March on Central Coast Blue.
I would wait till we discuss it in closed session before.
Well, we are planning that, but there needs to be an open session meeting when, like I said, it's being discussed publicly that Oceano has decided something on Central Coast Blue. But
we may not
taken any vote, so we need an open discussion. Regardless of what we talk about in closed session.
What's the trigger of whether or not we're participating? We have no memorandum to sign. They haven't provided.
Pismo Beach is moving forward with a memorandum of agreement with
They're not including Oceano.
They're not including Oceano because staff told them that we're not participating, but the elected officials of Oceano have never voted on whether we are participating or not participating. So
we voted
that's out of whack.
We did vote to participate originally.
Yeah, a long time ago. And then we never voted not to participate. Right?
We've never done anything one way or the other, no.
But, yeah, I mean, things are moving along without us because of what staff said to other staff in some back room out of public view. So we need a full public discussion and a decision by this board on whether we're in or out or, you know,
what we
want
to
do.
Why do we have to be in or out? We can just ride the way we're riding. What's the difference?
Because the way it's going right now is based on what staff, the previous general manager, said, apparently. We're not participating. That's what all of the other agencies that are involved in this project believe, based on what staff told them. And
I think it was more than staff.
Maybe because they thought that we were going to participate more with money, and we're not willing to.
We've never had a public discussion about. Mm-hmm. The details, you know, how much is it going to cost? How much would we need to contribute? Could we do some lesser amount or, you know, only...
Why would we do that? I mean, we're not participating. We're not spending any money.
We're not...
So that's why they're saying that we're not participating.
So then they want it, so that where it's...
But we need a decision by this board that we're not participating, and we need to explain to the public why we're not participating. Because there's all sorts of repercussions that flow from that.
Yeah.
Like right now, Pismo Beach saying, well, we're going to force Oceano to sign an agreement that they're not going to pump more than they've been pumping. We're not going
to
talk about it right now. I'm just saying
it
needs an open airing.
I'm not in favor of that. I think we're not participating, and that's enough said.
Yeah, we should discuss this in closed session. And any open session should be agreed to in closed session.
That's what I think we should do.
Another thing that might need to be on March is the status of the Five Cities Fire Authority. Mm-hmm. That may need to be on the March agenda. We'll know. the first meeting of March.
Well,
I think the vote won't be.
13 days. Yeah, it'd be the 13th. When's our meeting?
But I guess the clerk has a certain amount of time.
10 days.
Yeah. So I'm not sure when the clerk would do that. So maybe April would be more appropriate.
Well, the second meeting in March. 10 days plus the third.
If is that the direction?
Well,
an item.
Well, I was just asking if that should be in. We should deal with that in March.
I think we should deal with it after the election is certified.
Right.
Whether that's in March or after, I don't think there's any rush to. But we are going to have to start working one way or the other.
Okay.
Anything else before I say good night? Thank you so much for sticking it out. We'll adjourn.
We have to adjourn at 10.
I know.
We can't go on past 10.
Thank you all.
Thank you.